we are confronted with the variety of physical needs. Are we okay? Okay. I mess up the mic a lot, so you pray for Adam. He has to put up with me all the time. We're confronted with the variety of physical needs, from natural disasters to man-made disasters to people coming and asking us for help with food or gas or a place to live, a place to stay. And how do we respond to those physical needs? How do we approach meeting those physical material needs? Well, in Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 10, it talks about the power of Jesus to meet physical needs. And as we look at this, we're going to look at three approaches to meeting people's physical needs. Now, if you were in Sunday school this morning, this kind of is a jumping off spot. I didn't look at that lesson ahead of time, but you're going to see some of this duplicates what you look at in Deuteronomy. But we're going to see how Jesus has the power to meet needs and how he can use us to meet people's physical needs. The story we're going to look at is in Luke chapter 9. I'm going to begin reading there. We're really going to look at verses 12 and following, but I'm going to begin reading in verse 10 just to kind of set the stage. It says this: when the apostles returned, they gave an account to him, that's Jesus, of all they had done. Taking them with him, he withdrew by himself to a city called Bethsaida. But the crowds were aware of this, and they followed him, and welcoming them, he began speaking to them about the kingdom of God and curing those in need of healing. Now the day was ending, and the 12 came and said to him, send the crowd away, that they may go into the surrounding villages and countryside and find lodging and get something to eat, for we are here in a desolate place. But he said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fishes, unless perhaps we go and buy food for all these people, for there were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, have them sit down to eat in groups of about 50 each. They did so, and he had them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and broke them and kept giving them to the disciples to set before the people. And they all ate and were satisfied, and the broken pieces which they had left over were picked up, 12 baskets full. So this is an account that's in all 4 of the Gospels of Jesus miraculously, I won't say that again, in a miraculous way, feeding people. But I think it gives us some insights into how we confront people or how we respond to people when we're confronted with physical needs. And I think in verse 12, you see the first response, the first approach, and that is not to meet the needs, just to say, let them take care of themselves. There you go. Thank you. Don't we say that sometimes? Let them take care of themselves. We don't try to meet the needs. That's what the disciples did. Look at verse 12. They said, send the crowd away. Let them go to the surrounding villages. Find some place to stay. Get something to eat. We're in a desolate place. It's late in the day. There's nothing here. Basically, they said, let them take care of themselves. I mean, it was a big crowd. There wasn't anything to eat. They couldn't go down the street to McDonald's. Okay, you know, they had to go someplace, find something to eat, find something to stay. And so that was their attitude. Let them take care of themselves. Now, I think a lot of times Christians have that attitude. And we express it in ways like, well, I've worked hard for the things that I have. Why don't they just go out and get a job? And we forget that God has blessed us with the ability and the health, the right circumstances to make a good living. We forget what God has done for us, that we haven't always done it all for ourselves. And so we have to remember that it's not appropriate for us just to say, well, let them take care of themselves. But a lot of times that's our attitude. We're uncomfortable around poor people, I think. I had a friend, deacon in a church, and he dressed up like a bum. There's no other way to say it. Put on old clothes, put on an outfit, got a big beard, dressed up so that people really wouldn't recognize him, and sat on the front steps of the church as people were coming in one day. Now, everybody knew him, but because of the way he was dressed and made up a little bit, most people didn't even bother to look him in the face to see who he was. They just walked around him. He said one person did come up to him and offered to buy him lunch and realized who it was. another person came up to him and invited him to come into the worship service. And when they saw his face, they realized who it was. And he said, you know, don't. But most people didn't even look at him. They just walked around because they're a little bit, why do we do that? We're a little bit afraid, aren't we? We don't know what to think. And we think people just need to take care of themselves. That's what the disciples did. That was their attitude. Lord, there's not enough food here. You need to send them out so they can find what they need. Now, another approach that we've taken in our country recently is, look at the next, is let the government take care of those in need. Isn't that what we've done? The truth is, we've let the government take the place of the church. We've let the government do what we ought to be doing. Now, how that happened, you can blame a lot of folks, but a lot of times I think it's our fault because we've let them do what we should be doing. What do? When somebody has a need, we send them to some social agency. Now, the problem with that is that there's two problems. One is that it's just not very effective, not very efficient. There's a lot of fraud. There's a lot of waste. The second problem is they're not hearing about Jesus or not having their spiritual needs met in conjunction with their physical needs. And I'm going to talk more about that later, but let me just talk about why it's so inefficient. The truth is that it is a relatively new idea to let the government help. You know, in 1903, there was a flood in Mississippi that wiped out all of New Orleans. About 10 years ago, there was a hurricane, Katrina, that wiped out all of New Orleans. You know, in 1903, you know how much money the government spent to help the people in New Orleans? Zero. And then people didn't think it was the job of the government to meet people's needs. The needs were met. Churches met needs. Individuals met needs. They didn't think it was the job of the government. Now, I'm not saying the government shouldn't do that, but it's a relatively new idea in our society within the last 100 years that it's the place of the government to meet people's physical needs. And I think it's largely, I think we've done it to ourselves because we haven't done what God called us to do, and somebody had to step in. But here's what happened. I'll just read you this. This is from Katrina. Now, this is a few years old. They gave people special debit cards as a payment, and I had to write this down. I wouldn't remember. They got a special debit card and $2,000 special payment. Well, they looked in Texas and Louisiana, where there was damage, at 200 properties listed as home addresses. 80 of those 200 were non-existent locations or vacant lots. In other words, it was fraud. They looked at a group of 250 people that used Social Security numbers. Half of them were never issued, belonged to dead people, or didn't match the name provided. In another audit, they found 17 individuals with the same last names and addresses who'd used 34 fake Social Security numbers to collect more than $1 million. That's the problem with an informal, that's not the right word, impersonal approach to meeting people's needs. We've turned it over to agencies where it's impersonal, where people don't know one another, and there's opportunities, great opportunities for fraud. So what I'm saying to you is, and it's an inappropriate response to say, well, let them take care of themselves, or it's an inappropriate response in our day, the disciples wouldn't have said this, well, let the government take care of it. It's the same thing. What did Jesus say when they said, well, let them take care of themselves? Look at verses 13 and 14. He said, you give them something to eat. Isn't that what he said? You give them something to eat. In other words, the second approach is to try to meet the needs in our own power. What can we do? What can we do on our own? And typically what we say is, well, I just don't have the resources to help very much. And that's true, isn't it? We don't have the resources to help a lot. What happened? They looked around. They said, well, what resources do we have? Well, we've got 5 fish. No, that's not right. Help me out here. 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish, 5,000 men. That probably meant there were about 10,000 people altogether. They didn't count all the women and children. Okay, so how far is 5 fish and... Thank you. I'm glad somebody's paying attention. It's... 5 loaves, 2 fishes, how far is that going to go with 5,000 men plus women and children? So they realized they didn't have the resources to do it. Does that happen to us? Well, I think it does to us too. We have limited resources. People come all the time to churches and ask for help. We help as much as we can. We do the best we can. But we have limited resources. Even a large church. I think about First Baptist Church in Midland, Texas. That's the largest church I'm familiar with when I lived in Midland, Texas. It was a very, very big church, bigger than any church I know of in Michigan. And yet they had limited resources. They couldn't meet every need that people brought to them, and so they had to screen people and meet the needs they thought were most serious. You remember after 9/11, the Red Cross ran out of money. Right? The resources are limited. You remember Superstorm Sandy a couple years ago? They still haven't met all those needs. Disaster Relief, Southern Baptist Disaster Relief, is still asking for people to come and help do repairs on homes because the resources are limited. They haven't been able to meet all of those needs. So we always know that if we try to do it by ourselves, the resources are limited. Now, lots of times we use that as an excuse not to help. That's basically what the disciples were saying. Well, we can't do it. You're asking us to feed them? We can't do it. We don't have enough. There's nothing we can do. What are we going to do? And I think we need to remind ourselves that when Jesus tells us to do something like he told them to do something, if we wait till we see all the resources, that's really a lack of faith, isn't it? Jesus says help, and we wait till the resources come in. That's a lack of faith. It's better to do a little bit in our own strength than nothing at all. But there's a better approach than trying to do it in our own strength and our own power. And that's where I want to spend most of the time. I want to look at the last approach. We've talked about, you know, let them do it, take care of themselves. We've talked about, well, we'll do the best we can in our own power. But the real answer is to meet needs in Jesus' power. And you see that in the rest of the story, don't you? You meet needs in the power of Jesus. What happened? Well, you know what happened. Jesus said, have them sit down in groups of 50, and they had them sit down. And then he took the 5 loaves. You'll never forget this, will you? And the 2 fish... He looked up to heaven, he asked God to bless them, he broke them, they distributed them, and what happened? They all ate, and there was excess, right? 12 baskets left over. Jesus has a way of taking our meager resources and expanding them to meet the need when we'll let him work through us. That's really the point of this story. Let Jesus work through us to meet the need. Now, it strikes me that Jesus asked them to do what they could do. What did he ask the disciples to do? He asked them to organize the people in groups of 50. He asked them to have the people sit down. He asked them to serve the bread and fish. He asked them to collect what was left over. What did Jesus do? All Jesus did was break it and keep expanding it and handing it out. And again, there's a model for us. We do what we can do, and we look to Jesus to do what we can't do. The best illustration I've seen is a story a man tells about when he was mowing, and you may have experienced this as well. He was out mowing, and his son came running out and got right in front of him, between him and the mower, and grabbed the bottom part of the mower, was going to push the mower, going to help him. Well, he said he just kind of stopped for a minute, and of course his son couldn't push the mower. And he said he was tempted to say, son, get out of the way, I need to finish mowing. But he said, what did he do? He said, no. He said his son was going to help him. So he kind of stood back, you know, kind of straddled him so he could walk like this and not step on his son. And together, they mowed the yard. That's the way God works with us, isn't it? We're like that little kid. We don't have the power to push the mower. But if we'll get in there and help, Jesus will surround us and provide the power to do what we need to do. There's power in meeting people's needs when we do it through Jesus. And people know that we do it through Jesus. And you're saying, well, nothing could ever happen like this today. But one of our missionaries in the Dominican Republic tells a story about they were passing out food. He was working with some Dominican believers. They had 50 sacks of food they were going to deliver to villages. He said it was amazing. They loaded the 50 sacks of food on the truck. They went to the first village, unloaded about 3 sacks, counted again, they still had 50 sacks. They went to the next village and unloaded food, and they still had 50 sacks. He said when they got done, they still had 50 sacks of food. God still can work in those kinds of ways if we'll let him work through us. But We've got to get out and do what Jesus tells us to do. We've got to get out and be involved in meeting people's needs and not try to do it in our own strength and not say, well, we're just not going to do it, but ask Jesus what he wants us to do and let Jesus work through us. And he will work through us to meet the needs of others. Now, here's the thing that strikes me most about this story is not only did Jesus miraculously meet the needs, but it made an impact. It made an impact particularly on the 12, the disciples, because they recognized who Jesus was. And I think that's the main part of the story for us, is that when we let Jesus work through us, other people will see the power of Jesus and see who Jesus really is. If you have your Bibles, look back at verse 18. Let me just read the rest of the story, beginning in verse 18. And it happened that while he was praying alone, the disciples were with him, and he questioned them. Now my fingers aren't working. Okay. Sorry. He questioned them, saying, "Who do the people say that I am?" And they answered and said, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, but others that one of the prophets of old has risen again." But he said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered and said, "The Christ of God," or the Messiah of God. I think because Peter had seen the miraculous feeding, he'd seen the power of Jesus miraculously meet these physical needs, he recognized that Jesus was in fact the Messiah, that he was the Son of God, that he was the promised one that was going to come and provide God's people with eternal life. He recognized who Jesus was because he saw Jesus work through him and others to meet needs. Now, I think that's the question that we always have to ask ourselves. When we're meeting needs, are we pointing people to Jesus? Are we just meeting physical needs? Are we meeting our spiritual needs as well? There are lots of folks out there today that are interested in meeting people's physical needs. That's good. That's not a bad thing. But if we're only meeting their physical needs, if we're only giving them food or a place to live or clothes or meeting the needs that they have with their bodies, we're not meeting their complete needs because they need to know Jesus. Let me just give you an example from history. Rodney Stark's a sociologist. You don't care who he is, just to know that he's not a believer. But he wrote a study of Christianity. And he said the reason Christianity flourished in the Middle Ages was because Christians lived in the city. And when the Black Plague, the bubonic plague came, everybody else abandoned the cities. And believers stayed in the cities and ministered to their people who were sick. At the risk of their own lives, they cared for people and met their needs. He said, just from a non-Christian standpoint, that's one of the reasons, because people saw Jesus at work in their lives. Let me get closer to home. There's a picture I have, I think. Yeah. Back in December, through the Appalachian Regional Ministry, that's a ministry of the North American Mission Board, they distributed over 30,000 backpacks full of school supplies to people that lived in Appalachian region, which covers 7 states. And the missionary that's in charge of that, Bill Barker, said it opened doors because we cared for people in the name of Jesus. When they shared the backpacks, they shared Jesus, 700 people came to faith in Jesus. See, that's how it works. We meet people's physical needs. We meet their spiritual needs. Or closer to the home. You remember back at late in the summer, early fall, there was that big flood in Detroit, Macomb County particularly. Do you know that we had a lot of disaster, Southern Baptist disaster relief people meeting that need? This picture actually came out of one of the local papers with a whole story about how Southern Baptist disaster relief had come in and met people's needs. Now, I don't know all the spiritual results of that. I do know, because I know the people that work with disaster relief, that they share the gospel with people as well as cleaning out their houses. And most of the time, there are people that come to faith in Jesus because not only are they meeting their physical needs, but they're meeting their spiritual needs. Let me tell you one other story telling you stories today, but years ago in a church that I served, there was a young lady, we'll call her Cecilia, came. She was single. She didn't have any place to live. She didn't have a job. She was struggling. She came to the church and asked for help. Well, we provided her with some money to rent a house, and we provided her with some money to buy food, and we shared the gospel with her, and she accepted Jesus. It took a little while. We had to provide some help. She found a job. We helped her find a job. She needed a little money. She got on her feet. She finally went back to college and got a college degree, got a good job at another town, and left us. God changed her whole life because we cared enough to meet her physical needs, but not stop there, meet her spiritual needs. When we let Jesus work through us to meet people's physical needs, he can work through us to meet their spiritual needs. There are lots of people doing good things for folks, but when people see Jesus working through us, they're drawn to Jesus. So that's what I would say to us today. We just need to always be asking ourselves, as we find needs, and we will. I'll confess, the Lord will test me this week. I know somebody will come and ask me for help with something because I'm preaching this. I just know that's how it works. Maybe I'll have a testimony next week. But as we find needs, let's not say, well, take care of it yourself. And let's not just do the best we can. But let's ask Jesus to work through us to meet their needs, their physical needs, and their spiritual needs. And we'll help them now, and we'll help them for eternity. And that'll be a great thing, won't it? Why don't you bow your heads? We're going to pray. We're going to have a time of response here in a moment. We thought more about physical needs and how Jesus meets physical needs today, but you may have other needs here today that you need met. You may have a burden on your heart that you just need to pray about, and you can turn this front into an altar and come and pray. You can come and we'll pray with you. You may not know Jesus. You may need to invite Jesus into your life today. Come and talk to me, and we can talk about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. We're going to sing in a minute. This is your time to respond. As we sing, you respond. Let me pray. Father, I just pray that as we go from this place today, that we'll be sensitive to the needs around us, and that we'll take advantage of the opportunities that you provide in terms of physical needs, not only to meet those needs, but also to reach out and touch people with their spiritual needs and introduce them to Jesus. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me. We're going to sing together. Quick announcements. The first is, you remember that we have a regular business meeting right after this worship service. So take a couple minutes, say hi to somebody, greet them, but we need to get right back and take care of that business today. Remind you that tonight we start our first Experiencing God group. Let me just say a bit about Experiencing God. Some people think of it as a Bible study, and it is, But it's not about doing the study. It's about using that as a tool to experience God in our lives and learn how God speaks to us and how we can respond. And it really is an effective tool. So if you're not signed up to be a part of a group, I would encourage you to do that. The first group begins tonight. There's other groups that meet throughout the week. There's sign up back there, and you can see those. During our 6 o'clock time, we're going to continue our 6 o'clock Bible study time. It won't be a small group. In the other week, in the future weeks, we'll be showing a short video segment about experiencing God. This week we will not. This week we'll be doing a Bible study that'll help you see from a story in Acts how the principles of experiencing God work in the life of the New Testament. So that's what we'll be doing tonight. So I encourage you, if you haven't, sign up to be a part of an Experiencing God group. It'll take some of your time, but I'm telling you, it'll be well worth it. We're going to pray, be dismissed, and then those of you that stick around for business meeting, stick around for business meeting. Thank you, Frank.
Lord, thank you for today. Just thank you for Heritage. Just thank you for this place that we can come to worship you. Just thank you for the members. Thank you for the pastor that brings the message to us. Just be with us as we go from this place. Just give us your hand of guidance. And be with those that are in need, Lord. Just bring your hand over them and give them comfort. We ask this in your name. Amen.